about our topic today, which is follow-up and follow-through. It's a great topic. I trained on it last week on a coaching call, and everybody just was, you know, loved it. So I thought, well, this sounds like something we ought to do on a Monday call. So I'm just going to kick off and give you the insight that I did in that coaching call. And because follow-up and follow-through is unbelievably critical. And I always love to start every training, and I suggest all of you who are out in the field doing trainings, kick off your trainings with always the why. Because if people understand why they need to learn something, they're going to absorb it 10 times better than they do if you just jump into training something. So you have to put it in a format where, why do I need to know about follow-up? Why do I need that there's such an emphasis on follow-up? Well, for a lot of you who've been around network marketing for any number of years, you know there's a famous quote out there that goes like this: the fortune is in the follow-up, right? We've heard it 100 times. It's in almost all the textbooks that they write on network marketing and whatever we come across in written materials, whether it's Network Marketing Times or whatever. People are always talking about the fortune is in the follow-up. And they talk about it not because it's a falsity, but because it's truth, okay? That's why you've heard it 100 times. It's truth. And one of the booklets out there that I love, Don Ginn wrote a booklet called The 9 Unbreakable Laws of Network Marketing. And I actually have trained on that on my Monday calls a couple of years back, and hopefully maybe I'll do it again so all of you who haven't been on my call for long can be, you know, familiar with what those 9 unbreakable laws are. One of those laws is the fortunes in the follow-up. It's about follow-up and follow-through, and that you know, we have an obligation to follow up with people, and we need to put energy and efforts around it. It's critical for our business. It's absolutely critical in order for you to be successful in network marketing that you become a follow-up fanatic. So, you know, with all of this background, that every network marketing guru on the face of the earth says follow-up is critical and follow-through is critical, you just have to absorb that, okay, I get it. This is critical. It's going to be critical for my business, my success. And so if I don't do it, what am I involved in? I'm involved in what we call self-sabotage. And I know some of you can look back and say, oh, that's one of my sad parts of my business. And because everywhere I go when I train across the country, I always get people in the audience going, oh, Mary Jo, I'm not good at follow-up. And I'm like, ah, yikes. If anyone on this call can take that position today, look at your way you're doing your business, and you're going to say to yourself, I'm not good at follow-up. I want you to spend this week focusing and concentrating on how you can be better in follow-up, because it's holding you back. It is denying your success. It's robbing you of being effective in this business. You just got to grab on to follow-up and run with it, and I've got a lot of solutions for you, so listen hard on the call. All right, so when you fail to follow up, do we know what happens? Absolutely. It's a foregone conclusion. It's lose-lose. You lose because if you don't follow up, you don't sign them up. And they lose because if you don't follow up, they never get started on the products. You have a phenomenal gift to give people out there, and you need to step into it and get this in people's hands, and that's going to require communication. I'm getting a lot of flack on the phone, so I'm going to mute you all so I can not. Hopefully it's clear communication. There we go. Okay, great. Anyway, so it's lose-lose, and we're not about this world about lose-lose. We're in a world of what? We're in a world of win-win. Everything you do in life should be win-win, and that's what you ought to look at and evaluate your life. So if not following up is lose-lose, you're on the worst of all worlds. You're in the worst of all quadrants. You're causing yourself to lose, and you're causing the other person to lose. So what is it that makes us be bad in follow-up? And I just gave you some examples of what it could be in the outline. Number one, some people assume that the other person's just going to say no anyway. A lot of you hand out packs and you go, you're intimidated by the person and you don't follow up because you just, well, you justify not following up from the fact that you say, well, I don't think they're going to want to do it anyway. Wrong. What an awful presupposition to make. You're assuming, and everybody knows the word assume. What does it make out of you and me? I won't say it, but you can figure it out. Just look at the word. So don't go that direction. So get out of the habit of assuming a person's going to say no, because you have no clue. You can look at, I've looked at some people where I would have said, oh, they're never, you know, they're never going to sign up. And they're the people that call me a week later after and follow up, and they'll say, Mary Jo, I want an all-star pack. And I'll just like almost fall over. Who would have known? But if I would have made assumptions about it and I would have allowed that to control my behavior, guess what happens? It's lose-lose. Fear of rejection is another reason why people don't follow up. You don't like to hear no. I love to hear the word no, because in order to get so many yeses, I have to get so many no's. So it's okay to hear somebody say no. But most importantly, I like to talk to people about why they've, you know, come to certain conclusions about the products. And I'm going to give you a mechanism in this talk today that'll help you not to hear so many no's, if that's what's coming across. Okay, so that's going to be helpful to you. But the concept here is, don't worry about the fear of rejection. They're never rejecting you. So you got to overcome that. Three, lazy. Yeah, a lot of us are lazy. A lot of us are procrastinators. A lot of us put off, we're lazy and we put off things, and then all of a sudden 3 weeks later we realize we never returned the call to that person, and then we feel foolish because we haven't talked to them for over a month after we gave them a pack, and now we don't do it because we think it will look foolish. Oh my gosh, do you see how this whole thing gets into a spiral effect? You just, you kick off with good intentions, then you fail to follow up because of laziness, procrastination, finally a month later, and now you don't do it because now you don't want to look bad because what other people think of you is more important to you than being successful in this business. Oh my gosh, how many programs are running your life that are causing you to go down this spiral? And it's a lose for you. It's all about losing. It's all about coming up short. So let's put a stop to that. For those of you on the call today, get out that list. I want you to pull out that list to everybody that you haven't followed up with. And I want you to start just digging into that and working on that immediately. Just do it. And don't worry about it hasn't been a month. Come up with some reason. Why didn't you follow up with a month? Just say, you know what? I was so busy around Christmas time, I just let some of these things slide, and I am so sorry. Apologize to somebody you call back because you haven't talked to them. And you should have followed up a month ago. But be apologetic and then follow up. But take care of it. Don't let these things just drift. All right? Disorganized and failed even though things went out. How many of you are like that? I go to some people's offices and I see things in people's offices. They have sheets of paper all over the place. They have this person, this name. Their office looks like unbelievable. It's the messiest thing you've ever seen on the face of the earth. There's papers everywhere. They can't even tell me the people they've last talked to about Manatech because they're so confused and they're so disorganized. Well, you're never going to ever be effective if you don't set up a system on how you follow up with associates. So if you don't have a system, approach the person that signed you up, go upline from that, go to your upline presidential, and you find a system that works for you to make sure that you have a system in place where you're guaranteed you got that accountability set into the system so you're following up with people properly and you're keeping track of people's data. So those are just four of the reasons why I see, you know, and I put down five, whatever, because some of you can come up with lots of excuses why you're not following up, but they all are one big fat word. It's called an excuse, and we don't live by excuses. That's done. End of life. No more excuses. Just take responsibility in everything you do, everything you don't do. Take responsibility and watch your life shift. So get out of self-sabotage and start doing it right. Solutions to a lot of these problems. Why does a person like Mary Jo, and I know there are many others on this call that fit in that same category, we're follow-up maniacs. And why are we follow-up maniacs? Let's look at the reasons. And these will be solutions for you. Number one, whenever I work with somebody, the first thing in my mind is, oh, a new associate. This is a new associate in my downline. I have that vision, that picture in my brain. And when somebody, I always laugh, and I teach this in my pathway class too. Some of you have heard it before, and I don't want it to offend you, but this just happens to be the language that pops in my brain. When I'm on an airplane or in a food store, and I start a conversation with somebody, and they look at me and say, what do you do for a living? The first thing in my head is, oh, you sucker, you're going to be a new Manatech associate. I mean, it's automatic. And I don't mean to use the word sucker, but that just happens to be the terminology that comes into my brain. It's kind of like, you know, when you ask me what I do, my passion and my enthusiasm is so resounding. And I know that, you know, it's catchy. So it's like, I know this person is going to become a member of Manatech and start on the products. So, I mean, it's just so much fun for me. But see, some of you, when you approach somebody and talk to somebody, you go the exact opposite direction. And I'm going to say, do you understand that your mental words, your terminology that you use in your brain, that's all choice? You can choose to be positive or you can choose to be negative. It's your choice. So I'm suggesting that if you want to be an incredible follow-up maniac, you've got to start with the premise that everyone you talk to, you got to be positive about it, and you got to say, they're going to sign up in my organization. They're going to be a new associate. They might be the next jet. They might, whatever you want to do, but boy, you've got to be positive with your head. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. Your positive nature will come through. Or, on the other hand, It works both ways. If you're negative and you don't think they're going to come in, guess what? You're going to create that reality. So create the positive. Create the best results for yourself by starting off with the right mental side. So again, step one, every time you talk to somebody, right in the back of your head should be, they're going to be a new associate in my downline. Take a positive approach to it, not a negative one, because it's choice. That is truly a choice you make. Overcoming fear. That's just something you've got to work on. I do a great talk on rejection, fear of rejection, and all those kind of things on how to overcome fears. But you need to make, that's around choices too. You need to start analyzing fears for what they are. People aren't, they're not rejecting you, and that's what people think when they get rejection in Manitech. So many people say it's a rejection. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with where that person is in their life. So start putting the program back on them. It's their programs that are freezing them or locking them into the position they're in. It has nothing to do with you. So get over that. Quit making it being so self. I think people that have a fear of rejection are kind of people that are kind of self-centered. Because why do you always pin it on yourself? Playing that blame game around yourself is kind of self-centered. Get out of the selfishness and become selfless. You're out there supporting and educating people. If they choose not to do it, that's their programs, that's where they are in life. You can't, it's not about you. You can't go out there and badger the person to death to get them to do something they don't want to do. So overcome that fear and start looking at what it really is. Rejection has nothing to do with you. Number three, when you follow up, take the opportunity to learn people's objections. Now, my follow-up process always starts with what? I always start with the positive. When I follow up with somebody, I want to hear what did they find in the materials that they found exciting or new, or what did they learn? So you want to start asking, what were you interested in? What intrigued you in what you read or what you saw? What about the video did you really enjoy? Ask. Don't call somebody up and follow up and say, what do you think? I mean, it's like the world's worst question to ask. Well, what do you think? I mean, it's so open-ended. And maybe it's because of my lawyering background. I don't like to ask open-ended questions. I like to try to pinpoint things. I like to direct the conversation in a way that is positive. So how do I direct a conversation to be positive? I say to the person, great, did you get a chance to review the video? And they'll go, yes. And they go, what was it in the video that you really felt intrigued by? Or did you learn something new in that you're excited about? And right away it changes your prospect. Instead of thinking about, you know, negative things or objections they might have had, they're gonna get caught by saying, well, you know, that testimonial in that video, or you know, when you talked about that cellular communication, Mary Jo, in that video, could you clarify on that, because that was so fascinating to me how those cells talk to each other. They'll start a conversation with you on a positive note. You can control that by not asking what did you think, but instead asking what did you find in there that was intriguing or that. You really thought, you know, brought some new education to you. You know, ask them what they liked. What did you like about the materials you read? Okay, so you started off on the right tone. A lot of you aren't doing that. I suggest you do it. It'll really help big time in follow-up. The second thing you want to do is get into, you know, is there anything that you saw that would prevent you from moving forward and starting on the products? You know, so find their objections. A lot of you hate to ask that question because it's like, oh, I want to call somebody up and I want them to say, oh my gosh, I read your materials and where do I get my All-Star Pack, right? That's the number one response you want to hear. The reality is that doesn't happen every day, does it? No. So get out of that. And, you know, those, I'm going to suggest to you the people that say, I loved everything I saw, where's my All-Star Pack? Those are the people that probably burn out in 30 days. It's the ones that have done the in-depth review, that have some good questions for you, that are really in, you know, approach it in that fashion. Those are the ones that are probably going to stick with you over the long haul. So you want to try to get into what they saw that might prevent them from taking the products today or moving forward on this technology. Be an objection monger. I tell people that all the time. Fall in love with objections. And how do you fall in love with objections? The only way you're ever going to fall in love with objections is to what? To be prepared in responding to them. You've got to be so prepared. I love it today when somebody makes a comment to me that's an objection. I absolutely thrive on it because when they say something to me, I'm ready. I'm prepared. I know how to respond when somebody says, oh man, this product costs a lot of money. I know exactly how to respond. If you're on this phone call today and you don't know how to respond to that, I want you to go on manatrain.net and download my How to Respond to Objections outline and listen to that Monday call. because you need to get that outline and you need to write down. I put the 18 most common objections on that outline. I walk through a bunch of ways of responding. In the Monday call that's taped, we went through a bunch of those. I want you to isolate and work on exactly how to respond to all of those objections. So you're going to walk in the meetings now with such a huge new level of confidence, and you're going to be willing to search out people's objections because you're going to be prepared to respond to them. You've got to be prepared. If you don't overcome their objections, they're going to always have them, and that's what's going to hold you back from closing them. So it's not that the people are going to say no. They're going to say no if you don't know how to help them say yes. Does that make a difference for you? Absolutely. Okay, discipline yourself to follow up first. That's another thing. That's a solution for you. A lot of you put your follow-up at the bottom of your to-do list, and guess what? I can tell you almost everything that's at the bottom of a to-do list never gets done. It just lingers at the bottom all day long, and it'll linger there tomorrow and the next day and the next day. There are very few people that I know that finish off their entire to-do list every single day. I don't, because I put things on my to-do list that are due a month from now, 2 weeks from now, anything. As soon as it's an assignment, it ends up on the to-do list. So my to-do list is a page and a half long, so it's in small little itty-bitty print. So you don't want to put follow-up at the bottom of the list. You want to put it at the top of the list. Make sure you do it first. Get done with your follow-up first. If you're uncomfortable with it, put it as the first thing to do. I tell people every day of their lives, kick off your day with doing the things that are most uncomfortable for you, because that's the only way they're going to get done. Otherwise, you'll procrastinate, and they'll never get done. And the other aspect of follow-up is this. If you are like me, and you get it, that the only limited asset in your entire life is one thing, and that's called time. Because I don't care if you're George Bush, or you're Mother Teresa, or you're Mary Jo Hilliker, or you're Sam Castor, or you're Sue Hu, and whoever you are, wherever you are, it doesn't matter. You and I have the exact amount of time. You know, we are never going to get back 10 to 11 o'clock this morning. You've chose to be on this call. Hopefully you're getting something out of it, because this is an hour of your time that you've dedicated. That's why I take it so seriously. You've dedicated for training and learning. You can never have that hour back. So your time is your only truly limited asset. You can only get 24 hours a day. You can't make it into 36. Some of you try to do that, and you run a harried, stressful, totally unattractive lifestyle because of that. But you can still only have 24 hours. So if time is truly your only limited asset, then how can you go out there and share the gift of Manatech with people and not follow up? Then you're telling me that time is meaningless to you, because you're throwing away the time in doing the presentation or getting the packs out or meeting the person in the first place. If you're not doing the follow-up is where all the fruits are. So my goodness, if you're going to plant the seeds, then go harvest the fruit, right? Otherwise, you're wasting time planting seeds. And that's not what our world's about, is wasting time planting seeds. It's about harvesting fruit. So look at it that way, and maybe that'll help give you a different perspective on what you're doing in your life when you're not following up with people. You're choosing to just throw away your time. And my time, if it's anything like your time, I value every moment of it, because I don't know. As I tell people every day, my first thing out of my mouth in the morning is a prayer of gratitude. Thank you, Lord, for giving me one more day. Because I don't know when, how much more time I have, but I'm going to make as much as I can out of each day of my life, because I'm so blessed to have that extra day in my life. So again, time is critical. So to value your time. No one else is going to value it if you don't, so you better step into valuing your time. Okay, the last part of the outline and the last things I want to talk about is Todd Falcone, and some of you may be familiar with him. He's kind of a network marketing guru. In Network Marketing Times, I think it was the November-December edition, he wrote an article in there that's called Six Rules on Follow-Up, and his whole article kind of had a bent to it about how do I stop getting people who don't show up on follow-up calls? Because a lot of you, I hear it all the time in the field too. They go, Mary Jo, I call the person back and they won't return my call. I leave message after message after message, and I'm like, why are you doing that? And they're looking at me like, well, because I just know they're going to be my next jet, or I just, and I'm like, you're showing no respect for yourself. When you call somebody and leave 25 messages for them, what kind of self-respect do you develop? Like, nil. You start questioning yourself. Are you important? Are you significant? Your whole self-worth issue goes out the window. I said, geez, get out of that. It's not about chasing people, hold people responsible. So I love Todd. He's given some great suggestions here. Let's run through them quickly. We don't have a lot of time left, but I'd like to go through his 6 helpful rules on follow-up that can help you get over some of your issues, but it's particularly the ones that you have somebody who is not there when you do the follow-up phone call. I know there's not a person on this call that hasn't had that experience, because it's an experience we have in life, okay? Everybody has it. So here's the 6 rules. Let's see how you can implement them in your business. His number one rule was do a 3-way call on your first call. What Todd is suggesting is, he's saying, let's try to make our first phone call, our first contact with a prospect, be so effective that the follow-up to close doesn't need to happen, because we're going to be so close to closing, if not closing, on that first call. And I think he's absolutely right. I love 3-way calls. I do them all the time. I am a 3-way call fanatic with people. It's part of my pathway class, as many of you know. I just love them, and I think you need to get into doing 3-way calls. It's an incredibly effective way of getting people closed, because now the person's hearing from you, and they're hearing from, quote-unquote, an expert or a third independent party, so they're getting immediate reinforcement of your opinion. So they don't have to look elsewhere. Now they have the materials, they have you, and they have the reinforcement all at the same time, and boom, the person goes, okay, great. And and I love 3-way calls. A lot of you try to get your family members involved, and you say, oh, Mary Jo, family's the worst. Well, a lot of times they're the worst because they've heard it from you so many times, you may have lost a little credibility with them. Maybe, you know, and friends too. Here's another one. Friends, for those of you who've been in 7 other network marketing companies, now you think you're going to approach with Manatech. You know, some of you have kind of tainted your history with some of these people with other things that you've thrown in their face. I think having a 3-way call, a third party on the phone with you, in following up with those people are huge, because now they have the reinforcement. They're going to hear from somebody who really did make it, who really understands it. They're going to get all their questions answered. Your ability to sign somebody up on a 1 phone call basis increases tenfold when you do a 3-way call. So great idea. Establish it. Get to working on 3-way calls in your own downline, because you're going to see incredible sign-up ratios if you do that. Second rule, he says, firm up your follow-up. In other words, always be specific. If you hand somebody a pack and you ask them, first of all, you find out, when do you think you're going to be able to review the materials? And they'll say, well, I'll be able to get to them tomorrow afternoon. Go, great. Would tomorrow night be a great time for us to do a follow-up call on them? And then I could answer all your questions. And the person will go, yeah, I think tomorrow night I might. And you go, what specific time? What's going to be best for you? I know you have family time and dinner. And just be sensitive to their issues, what else they have going on in their life. And open that door. Always show sensitivity. Don't cram it down. I'm going to call you at 6 o'clock. Be sensitive to their time constraints. So if they say, well, you know what, Mary Jo, yeah, I think 7:30 would be a great time. Great. Okay, Sarah, I'm going to call you tomorrow at 7:30. So you have a very specific time. I'm going to call you tomorrow at 7:30 or Thursday at 6 o'clock, whatever. You have a specific date, a specific time that you're calling. Does everybody get that? Critical. I know with the Jeff Allen pack method that a lot of you are using today, the backpack methods, you know, what's so critical is the urgency. You set urgency around the information in that pack. If you don't set urgency, they won't set urgency. And there's nothing more, I mean, what are we talking about in terms of urgency here? I don't want to say there's nothing more important than health, but because there is, but health is right up there, ranks very high. The urgency around somebody's health is crucial to them, and you want to step into that and make them recognize how important it is by creating urgency around them reading the materials. So anyway, so make sure you set that urgency, set the time, and always posture from strength. Some of you get on a phone call with somebody and you sound like little pipsqueak mice. You know, you're so mousy and meek about things. What you want to do is you want to be bold and brave. Come from confidence. You have an incredible gift to share with people. So you need to be so positive and so, you know, just show the strength of what that power is that you have in that product called Ambertose, and what a difference it can make in people's lives. And if you have a problem with acknowledging that, if your belief system isn't quite there yet, I'm going to tell you to get that We Listen tape or DVD and just plug that sucker in and spend a couple hours a week listening to that, even a couple hours a day. And if your belief system doesn't skyrocket from that, I don't know whether I'm going to have to start doing open heart surgery to see if you have one. Because, boy, there's so many phenomenal results that these products have created out there in people's lives. If it's not in your own, it's in hundreds and thousands of others, that wow, what you are sharing has incredible possibilities for every human being on the face of the earth. So be proud of it. Come from a posture of bold and courageous, not from meek and mousy, okay? So third rule is transfer responsibility to them. So what does that mean? That means every person you share with, you want to make sure they get your information. In other words, your call with them looks like this. Okay, Sarah, so we've scheduled a call tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. Thursday at 7:30 p.m. You and I will be on a call together. I'll be giving you a buzz back. Now, if there's some reason why you cannot make the appointment, would you give me the professional courtesy of calling me and letting me know that you can't make it? You get the comment. You set them up to be responsible for calling you back if they can't be on that call. And you have to give them your information, how they can contact you. Most people already have your card in some way, shape, or form. You get a commitment from them that if they can't make the call, they'll call you back. That's a professional courtesy, is it not? Some of you don't feel like doing that. But again, why is it that you don't feel like doing it? Oh, because Mary Jo, we're chasing them. Oh, there's the wrong terminology. You're sharing with them a phenomenal gift. Why can you not have a professional communication with them? This isn't old-time network marketing where you pound people's doors down. This is called being professional at the business that you're entertaining. And if you want to be professional, then be professional. You should always be professional. Then you're going to attract, right? Like attracts like. So that's the kind of person you want to attract. So take a professional approach to it. So if you give the responsibility back to them to call you if they're not going to be on the phone call, why does Todd Falcone say this is a critical rule of follow-up? The reason is that by doing that, what you're doing when you call the next day and they're not around or they're not available, you don't get into this emotional filibuster with yourself up and down. Oh, I'm not worthy. They don't want it. You don't get into all that. You know what? Instead, you say, wow, this person committed to calling me back if she wasn't going to be able to make it, and she didn't do that. So right away, you have a flavor for who this person is. They break commitments, right? What did that say about integrity? It tells you a lot about the person in one event alone. So instead of you getting all wound up in your own stuff around I'm not worthy, they're not going to like it, they didn't like the materials, you can instead look at them. It's a statement about them, not a statement about you. So it relieves you of all the emotional embattlements you like to go through and gyrations you go through when somebody's not there when you call them. Because it wasn't about you. They broke a commitment to you. They broke a commitment to be on the phone, and they broke a commitment to call you if they couldn't. So that says a lot about that person. Okay, so transfer responsibility to them. It helps make them, hold them responsible, and also helps relieve you of emotional stress. The fourth rule is be on time, and as if this isn't a critical issue with everything in life. You should always be on time for everything that you do. In fact, you should be 5 minutes early. Because why? Because your integrity is tied to being on time. It's a statement about you. It's a statement about your commitments. It's a statement about your word. If people can't trust you at your word, do you think you're going to attract them as a business leader to help guide them and lead them to become a presidential in Manatech if they can't trust your word? Wow, what a huge statement. And every time you're late for something, you're 15 minutes late to a lunch appointment with a prospect. You know what? If I were that prospect, I'd be going, wow, they don't value my time. And my time is my only limited asset. And they just throw it to the side. That would be the end. I mean, I wouldn't be that, perhaps that direct about it, but it would sure show me a lot about the person. So if that's what you're revealing when you're late to things, how many of you want to show that picture of yourself? And is being late to things, is it not just a bad habit? Is it not something you can make the choice around? Does it take, 6 months to change a habit? Absolutely not. You can choose to change it today and make a change right now. If there's a high enough emotional involvement, if you start understanding the cost and the price you're paying, I'm going to suggest you can change a habit in 5 seconds flat. But you're paying a hefty price when you're not on time. And when you schedule a time and a specific time to be on a phone call with somebody, you be on that time. I hear people all the time. I heard it last week from somebody in my downline. She came to a meeting that I gave, and she said, well, I told this guy I was going to follow up with him on Monday, but I had the kids at home, and I just couldn't do it. And I just looked at her, and I just shook my head. It's a problem. When you tell somebody you're going to do something, and you don't do it, All you had to do is sneak away for one moment and call the person and say, you know what, I got the kids home and I just feel like this is going to be a chaotic time. How about if I call you back tomorrow instead where I have some more free time? Reschedule it. Recommit. But you must touch base with the person. You committed to being on the phone with them, so follow through on your commitment. I don't care what happens in your life. Follow through on your commitment. Anyone, anywhere, unless you go into a coma for some reason, anyone else can, you know, you can pick up a phone and dial it and be on the phone 1 minute to help reschedule if you can't make it. Would you tell him to stop? The last one, the sixth rule is do not ever chase a person. And we already talked about that, Do not ever chase a person. We already talked about that. And what I do with people, if they're not on the phone and I can't get them on the phone when I call them, okay, let's say they don't show up on the phone call for some reason, that's the message I leave. Hi, this is Mary Jo. I know you're a responsible person, so I'm very worried about you since you missed our call. Please at least give me a call back to let me know you're all right. You get it? That's it. It's my last phone call. I don't call them 5 more times. I don't call them 6 more times. Now, if I want my backpack back, I'll get it back and I'll say, I'd like to get the materials returned because I have so many other people interested in them. Please give me a call back so we can pick those up. Or I'm going to say, I'm going to be in your neighborhood tomorrow and I'm going to come by at 2 o'clock. Is that a good time for you for me to come by and pick up those materials? Yep, that's it. You know, some of you want to chase people till you're dead. I mean, you chase them. You make 10, 15, 20 phone calls. I'm going to tell you that person that you chase like that, it's going to drive you nuts. And most importantly, if they're that irresponsible in responding to you, do you really want them as a business partner? Now, somebody asked the question when I gave this training. They said, well, Jeff Allen had to be chased a lot. And I said, well, he really didn't have to be chased. He just needed more material. He needed more time and he needed more material, and he wasn't getting his questions answered. So the reality of it is sometimes you have to, some people are analysts and they need more material, and you're going to have to work with that. That's not chasing. I'm talking about chasing somebody because they refuse to take your phone call. And trust me, when you call a person 4 times and you've scheduled times with them and they're still not there, that is people refusing to take your phone call. There's a different story going on there. So use that as a thing. I'm just really concerned about you because, you know, you must not be all right because I know you're a responsible person. So please give me a call back. Let me know what's going on because you're in my prayers. Yeah, do that and watch. That'll trigger a phone call. 9 times out of 10, you'll get a response. Okay, but understand that disqualifying people is a huge part of your business. A lot of you want to keep people wide open. And I'm not telling you, remember my whole theory around being on the warm list? You never get off the warm list unless you sign up or you die. So that means a person that is irresponsible, I don't take them off my warm list. They just get put on my man mail list and they get a monthly newsletter. When it's their time, they're not chasing them. But they'll still get information from me, but I'm not chasing them because my time is my only limited asset. And the last rule that Todd has is don't get emotional. And again, he says, don't go wallow in misery over somebody that doesn't sign up. Da, da, da. Some of you, I lose people sometimes for a week. They're pursuing somebody for a week, and that person says no to them, and then I lose them for a week. They like go down in the depression for 7 days. I'm like, what is this all about? You know, the number one way not to do that is to have enough people in your hopper so you're working on 10 to 15 people. So if you lose one, so what? Some of you are only working on one at a time, and that's your problem. Like it's the end of the business and the end of your life and the end of the world if somebody says no because that's the only one you're working on. Well, therein lies the problem. You're not working with enough prospects. So increase the number that's in your hopper. I love the language that came out of John Kalinch's book, SWSWSW, next. Some will, some won't, so what, next. Get over it and move on. The last time I looked, there were billions of people in this world, and so far, we only have less than 0.1% or I don't know what the statistic is, but it's so minute that are taking the products that we have a whole world out there to go and touch. Okay, so that's it. I'm going to take myself off mute. Okay, do I have everybody back? Back? Hello? Okay, there we are. Great. I got a lot. Okay, any questions, any issues about today's call? You've learned that lesson, haven't you? That's what I tell people. You drag them in and you're going to have to drag them across the finish line. So good luck. And what a nightmare that is. Yeah. I will be in Cancun. Absolutely. So if you're ready to go sailing and my back holds out, we're going sailing. All right. Uh-huh. Hi, Deborah. How what? Would I say what over again? Boy, I can't hear you. I'm getting a lot of. I can't. There's so much noise in the background. I can't hear you. Are you talking about repeating the six rules? They're on my outline. Go to